Lift your hands with me to the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence. Because you live, we can face tomorrow. Because you live, all fear is gone. Because you live, Lord, we live with you. And we triumph with you in Jesus' name. Let your anointing come this morning, Father, and touch us into the very depths of our heart, into our minds and our souls. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, the Lord is good. It's always great to be on Easter, isn't it? To be in church and reminding ourselves what the Lord has done. You know, 48 years now, I guess I've never missed an Easter service. I guess if I had, they would have fired me, right? So I think I would have come even if I hadn't have been the pastor. Because there's something about this season, you know, the times and the seasons are important to the Lord. And when we remember those, we remember the specific things that God does in our life during different times of our life, different seasons of our life. And as we come through this Passover season, we're reminded about the birthing of those things that are new before us. Cheryl brought a great word last week. If you hadn't heard that, you should go back and listen to it. But it was called, It's Time to Bloom, or The Bloom is, I named it, I can't remember now. Yeah. Day of the Bloom. Yeah, the Day of the Bloom. It's time that we're breaking forth. And one of the things that happens during transition is that there's always a suddenly that comes. Faith works that way. Faith creates and positions us for sudden things to happen in our life. And when that happens, it's like the scripture says, there's a time of strengthening, lengthening our cords and strengthening our stakes. It's a time to get ready for something new to happen and to break forth into our life. This course, this time of year, the time of the resurrection Sunday, reminds us of the days of newness, the days of transition, because the greatest transition in the history of humanity took place over 2,000 years ago through Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead. For the first time ever, death was conquered. Amen? The good news is that death wasn't conquered just once, but it's a continuation to everyone that believes. Amen. Now, there's three things that and this isn't a Baptist message when I say three things, but it'll probably wind up as six things, right? But the thing that I was reminded of in my spirit was that there's always a birthing. Out of a birthing always comes a death. Out of a death always comes a resurrection. That's the process of the kingdom. Now, when we look at Christ, his birth was initiated because the Lord spoke a word to Mary and said to her that she would be overshadowed with the Holy Spirit and she would give birth to a son and they would call his name Jesus, who would save his people from their sin. And when Mary received that word, she was aggressive in the way that she received it. She said, Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word. Let me put this question by you, or this statement. Nothing happens in your life that's significant until there's a willingness on your part to see it happen. Until you come into agreement with that which God has spoken over your life. That's what initiates the birthing that takes place within you, or the new thing that God wants to do. It'd be nice if we could just lay up in bed and God could come and just whap us over the head sometime and just do something for us. But you know, that's not how he works. He always works through the heart that's willing, the heart that opens themselves. That's where God meets us. He meets us at the point of our willingness to be met. He never imposes his will upon us. His will is only fulfilled within us as we open to receive it. So everything begins by hearing what the Spirit of the Lord says to us. Everything that begins in the Spirit comes by the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that change cannot happen in your life otherwise. You can have natural change. And we all have natural changes. But the change that we're seeking is the change that's birthed by the Spirit. Because that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit. And we're going to look in Romans chapter 6, but first let's begin in John chapter 3 this morning. And we're going to do a little bit of salvation 101, just to refresh our memory. John chapter 3, we know the story of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus came at night, and he inquired of the Lord. And he said in verse 2, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the Lord's saying that in order to you to be able to see what's before you, there's got to be this transition that takes place in you called being born again. How many know what being born again means? Raise your hand. Amen. The most significant event that takes place in any person's life is the moment they're born again. Because that moment enables them to begin to see differently than what they've ever seen before. Now they see the kingdom. Before we're born again, we're limited in our vision because all we can see is those things that are around us. And how many know that those things that are around us can oftentimes be very discouraging to us? But when we're born again, the light comes on. Now we can begin to see from a different perspective than what we've seen before. So to be born again opens the door to begin to see the kingdom of God. He says in verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And one of the pitfalls that we face today in Christianity is the fact that we may be falling short on getting people into the Spirit. Yes. We may be falling short in getting them to see something besides what they see in the natural. Because, see, it's not a mental ascent that we're looking for. If we're not careful, salvation can be simply a mental ascent of becoming something better within yourself. But true salvation is when yourself is removed from the equation, and now the Spirit of God begins to move in to the place that you were led by your own self. Now you're led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, it says you now are the sons of God. And sometimes we degenerate in the preaching to where we become more preaching about the humanistic side of who we are instead of the godliness of who He is. Are you following what I'm saying? Because see, it's not how good I convince you that you are that will really change you. You'll only be transformed and changed by the presence of God. Amen? You see, the teaching that says you're okay and we're just going to convince you that you're okay and now you're going to begin to see yourself as okay, that's not the teaching of the gospel. The teaching of the gospel is to teach you that you're not okay, but He is okay. Amen? That you're not sufficient, but He is sufficient. That we're not able, but He is able. That's the true preaching of the gospel, isn't it? To transform us from this place of flesh into this place of spirit. Because until we can begin to see in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, understanding the Spirit, then we're not truly abiding in the kingdom of God. Amen. How many want to be in the kingdom? Not just be in the kingdom, how many want to fully bloom in the kingdom? Hallelujah. The fruit of the Spirit is one thing versus the fruit of the flesh. Now, don't refine your flesh, because in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. What does it say in Romans 3:23? Remember that the scripture, for all have sinned and fall short
of the glory of God. Amen. We've been so trying to convince people that they're not sinners when they are sinners. You know why you're a sinner? Because you were born into sin. You weren't born in righteousness. You were born in sin because your father, Adam, was disobedient, and thus he sinned and estranged himself from God. So the first realization that any of us must have in order to see the kingdom of God is to realize that within us dwelleth no good thing, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? How many agree with that? Now, I'm not saying that that's where you need to live, in the sin, because God gave you an ability and a way to escape the place you were born in, and that's called being born again. That's what the process of Passover is all about. The process of Passover is learning to understand that the Lamb of God has come to take away our sin, to remove it. Hebrews even says, not only does he take it away, but he actually forgets about it. Everybody say, forget about it. Yeah. Just forget about it, Lord. Amen. So even though I was a sinner, now that I'm in Christ, I'm a brand new creation. Amen. Some people, though, claim they're a new creation, but they've never been born again yet. That's a tragedy, isn't it? That's to have a form of godliness or the dictionary or the vocabulary of the kingdom, but not yet have the experience of the kingdom. See, you can hear enough religious jargon that it'll convince you that everything's okay with you. But it's only when you have an encounter with the Lord do you realize how that you're transformed from the old man into the new man. I must venture to say this to you. If you have not had that transformative power happen in your life, you must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. Yes, amen. Amen. It's not good enough you've been around some good people or some spiritual people, or you can quote the scripture. It's not good enough that you can agree in your mind that all this works. You must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Well, I was raised in church, so I just evolved into my salvation. No, you don't evolve into it. You're born again. That's a dramatic happening that happens to you when you receive Christ. You're born again. All of a sudden, everything becomes new. Amen. I remember when I was born again, it was pretty dramatic because when you're as big a sinner as I was, it's a traumatic turnaround to become something different, believe me. All of a sudden, everything was different. The colors were different. The birds singing was different, right? Everything was different than what it was before. Because all of a sudden, the Bible said that when we're born again, we become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. All old things have passed away. Behold, everything becomes new. You must be born again, not only of the flesh, but of the spirit, in order to inherit or to see the kingdom of God. Let me say it again. You must be born again in order to inherit and see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So in our fallen condition, God demonstrated, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated through Christ his love, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Amen. So the process of being born again is understanding the sacrifice that was given for us. No greater sacrifice could a man have than he laid down his life for his friends. God's greatest desire is to call every one of you his friend. His greatest desire is for every one of you to come into his house and sup with him. You with him and he with you. He wants to be intimate with you in your relationship to you. And that happens because he made access to you by the gift that he gave for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. Amen. How many believe this morning? Amen. If you believe, guess what? The thing that you believe will be eternal for you. I don't know about you, but as much as I like pressing into the kingdom and all the revelation of the kingdom manifesting in the midst of us at this present moment, I still like to have the assurance of my eternity. Right? Because sometimes the things that I get here just on this earth don't satisfy me very much, even the some of the things that I get in the Lord. But I'm looking forward that everything that happens in my life is marking me to one point that I'll be living with him forever. I always like to say on Easter, anyone here want to live forever? Say amen.
Amen.
Anybody here want to walk on the streets of gold? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're walking on the streets of gold, by the way, when you walk in this church. Did you know this entire church floor is covered in gold underneath the carpet? Are your feet tingling yet? Hallelujah. Woo! Just think of it. We're standing on gold right now. If you're standing on the Word of God, you're standing in the place of eternity. Romans chapter 6. I know some other people like this chapter. Amen. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So, you know, this tells us very pointedly that grace does not come to give us a license to do anything we choose to do. We know that grace, in definition, is the unmerited favor of God towards us. You don't earn it, you don't deserve it, but yet God gives it anyway. Grace is the favor of God to us. Grace becomes the vehicle by which everything that God is imparted to us. Because faith works by love or by grace. So everything that God intends for your life to be and to become is given to you by the extension of his grace for you. Amen. We exist, we're born, and we exist by the love of God. The whole reason why we even have status this morning before the Lord is because of his love for us. Amen. There's nothing that I can do to leapfrog to the Lord unless he provided a way for me to get there. He gave his grace as the way for me to escape the place that I was in, to become and become the thing that he called me to be. By grace, I'm saved. Everybody say it. By grace, I'm saved. Not through works, but lest any man should boast. But by grace, I've been saved. I've been positioned for everything that's going to happen in my life because God's love is always consistently beaming towards me to make provision for me. So even when I'm weak, he becomes strong on my behalf. Even when I doubt, he becomes faith on my behalf. Even when I pull back, he stands strong in the midst of me. He never forsakes me. He always is consistently there for me. I will call upon the name of the Lord, and he will redeem me and save me at any moment in my life. God is not far from me. God is not distant from me, but God is nigh me. He's even in my heart, and he's in my mouth. He is with me at all times because his love for me never variates nor deviates from his purpose and his intention for my life. He's always working on my behalf. He never fails me nor does he ever forsake me in his endeavors to become and make me to be what he's called me to be. Amen. For all things work together. Amen. Let me read it. Woo. That we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he called, whom he called, those he justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. Amen. Thank God, his grace is sufficient for my needs. So certainly, certainly not. I'm not going to willfully disobey my God who's given me that kind of grace. See, the law does not something you need to tell you what you need to do. The grace of God leads you into that. Amen? Because what happens when you're born again, you're no longer subject to the laws of sin and death. We're subject to a higher law, the law of liberty and the law of love. Amen? Woo. No longer do I have to walk according to the things that tell me what not to do, but now I walk according to that which is spoken to my heart by his Spirit. Thus I fulfill his law, the law of love, in the midst of me. Man, I'm free. I am free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Death has, through the resurrection of Christ, you see, the cross of Christ was the pass-through. Everything on this side of the cross comes to the cross, and what happens when it comes to the cross? It dies. What happens on the other side of the cross? It lives. And let's read the scripture. So don't you know, verse 3, that many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. There's this principle of identification that takes place with the death of Christ. You know, Paul even mentioned it when he said, if you die with him, you'll live with him. Wow. Well, Lord, I don't want to die. I just want to live. Forget the dying part. No, we don't understand. It's the death that comes by faith. Because see, the faith that you have to believe in him. For it says that if a man will believe in his heart and confess with his mouth, it will result in his salvation. So your faith positions you and identifies you with his death. It doesn't mean that they're going to kill you like they killed Christ. Now, we know that some have had to go through that, right? Some of us may still go through that. But what it doesn't mean that, it means that you've so identified with Christ in death that there's no other place to go but now to go resurrect with him. Because the moment you are crucified with Christ, the moment you die with him, that's the moment that you take on life. Because you're baptized, you're buried with him in baptism, but now you're what? You're raised to walk in newness of life. Amen? Everybody say newness of life.
Newness of life.
Woo. So, man, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to die. Then you don't want to live. I'm afraid of dying. No, we should embrace death. I'm afraid of suffering. No, we welcome it. He said the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed in us. You see, it's the same glory that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That when you come into this revelation, that same glory will raise and rest upon you and raise you up. Hallelujah. Where do I get my strength this morning? My strength doesn't come from myself. My strength cometh from the Lord. Where do I get my faith this morning? Where do I get my boldness? It cometh from the throne of God because I've identified with Christ. Woo. Wow. You know, this last fall when I went through a little suffering, it was the most glorious time of my life. Now, I'm not telling you that I want to rewind the clock back and experience it again. And I'm not telling you that I'm looking forward to any more encounters that way. But I'm telling you that when the encounter that I had, when I embraced it with all of my heart, I didn't curse it or flee from it or disdain it, but I said, okay, so be it. The moment I did that, the glory of God was resting upon me. You saw it. I was closer to the Lord than I'd been in years because I suffered with him. I began to reign with him. Amen. So I'm not going to wait for the suffering to catch up with me or the death to catch up with me. I'm going to go ahead and embrace it now so I can just get right on through it, right into the glory. Wow. We love the glory, don't we? See, we become so immersed into the death of Christ, so immersed into dying to sin and all that, that we just come to that place that now we come into the place where everything is conquered in our life. When we're immersed in the death of Christ, all of a sudden we are free from sin. We are free from fear. We are free from the penalty of sin. We are free from judgment. We've started to embrace the thing that Christ received because of his obedience to God. We follow the same pathway. Let the mind of Christ be in you, which was in him, where he gave himself to the Father in such a way that it led him to the cross, that led him to the glory. Amen. We want to be a church that goes to the cross and then goes to glory and to glory and to glory and to glory and to glory. We don't want to get stuck, bogged down in the place of unfruitfulness. We want the fruitfulness of the Lord to be manifested through our lives because Jesus himself died. He was buried. Hallelujah. And he was resurrected. Wow. Can you imagine the power of God that it took to roll the stone back and come into that grave where he'd been dead 3 days? And all of a sudden, the power of God was on his body, and no longer was he limited or bound by that body that he carried, but now he became a brand new creation upon the earth, the firstborn among many sons that are going to be birthed upon the earth in the same glory that the Father gave to his Son Jesus. Amen. We too die. We're buried and we're raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen. Whew. Therefore, verse 4, we're buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly, everybody say certainly, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Aren't you glad the old man is dead? Amen. Amen. Now, wives, don't look at the guy next to you. Our old man was crucified with him. Now, a lot of us want to crucify other people, but we don't want to be crucified ourselves, right? No, it doesn't work that way. Well, let's just all jump on the cross together. Let's make it a family reunion at the cross. Amen. Let's have a potluck at the cross. Hallelujah. That the body of sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. He who has died is free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Can you say it with me this morning? Death no longer has dominion over me. because I'm in Christ. Christ is in me, and no longer do any of the elementary things of this world influence me, change my life, destroy me, because now I have been lifted up to a high place, seated with Him in heavenly places. Now I look and I see through the eyes and the mind of God. Now I speak with the voice of the Lord. Now I'm endued with power from on high. Now I have become an overcomer in every aspect because I've been raised together with Him and born into the newness of life. Amen. Wow. See, this thing ought to get on you so much that you just think, how can I stand it anymore? You ought to get so anointed and filled with boldness and faith that it feels like that you're gonna be like an alien invasion. You remember the show, The Alien? I hope you didn't see it, but if you did, the alien pops out, right? There ought to feel like there's an alien in you, that the alien in you is the Christ that's in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Don't go see the show. You'll have nightmares. I want to have dreams about all of a sudden this Christ coming out of me, coming through me. Hallelujah. I want to dream about how love can just be manifested in my life in a greater measure. I want to dream how I can lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. I want to dream how I can speak to the devils and they'll be cast out. I want to dream how I can speak to the dead and they will rise and live. I want to dream how I can declare to the body of Christ of who they are and what they are and what they're becoming and have no reservation in my heart. I want to believe God because Christ, the risen King, is within me.
Hallelujah.
Stir me up a little bit. Woo. My. When you go through your identification with Christ, you're no longer controlled by the base things of this world. But now you become an instrument of love. You guys ought to feel like you're a 5-gallon paint can of love. And you're just ready to splash all over somebody. Hallelujah. You ought to feel like that you're just so endued with the nature of God that anybody you grab and hold, it's just going to transform them because they're just in your presence. Wow. Amen. Woo. Because you're no longer dead. You're alive. See, as long as we look to ourselves, everything falls flat. Everything becomes personal. We take everything personal. Did you know when you get in Christ that you are no longer personally offended by anyone? Did you know that everyone that leaves church is because they're personally offended? And when you carry around the personal offense in your spirit, did you know that everything that happens in your life will offend you? Everyone will be your enemy. It'll be their fault, not yours. After all, if it wasn't for them, you'd be okay. When you're living in the flesh, that's how you see everything. When you live in the flesh, you tend to judge everyone else. You tend to compare them to your righteousness because you're better than they are after all. Because if they were like you, they wouldn't have done what they did. Right? When we live in the flesh, when we look to ourselves, everything becomes personal. Everything then becomes a conflict for us. Did you know that the conflict of our life is 100% self-imposed? None of the conflict that you go through is something that God gave you. God only gives you victory. The conflict you dwell in is the conflict because you've dropped your eyes off of the prize. You've dropped your eyes off of the one that came brought glory into the tomb to raise you up. Now you've created a world around you that creates conflict around you. Judgment, conflict, confusion. I'm talking to myself because I often find myself in conflict. And I'm thinking, why should I be in conflict? If I'm dead, Dead people don't feel anything. Dead people aren't aware of personal issues and personal people talking bad about them. People that are in Christ, they see everything differently. Because now they're looking down from above. Looks a lot different when you're looking from above than when you're down below looking up. Because when you're looking up, things tend to fall on you that you don't want to have fall on you. Like when I parked my car under the tree the other day at the gym. What is on my windshield? Amen. But when you're above, the birds of paradise won't fly over near your head. You're going to fly over their heads. For Christ has lifted you up in this hour. It's out of that death comes the life. See, God takes you through a wilderness, but only as a time to pass through it. It's not a place to live at. It's not a place to dwell. It's just simply a place to get through as quickly as possible so you can get to the place of resurrection, to the place the land is flowing with milk and honey. Amen? I love this stuff, don't you? The goal that we have is that Christ be revealed in us. That's the hope of glory for the church. So this morning, I rejoice in Easter. I rejoice in the presence of the Lord. I rejoice that today that I'm going to move out of everything that I was, and I'll begin to move into all that He is. And I want to read you one last scripture. Stand up with me, if you would. Hallelujah. It says in verse chapter 8 that the Lord said, the creation will be delivered, verse 21, from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The whole creation is grown together now, waiting, eagerly anticipating the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for this adoption to come forth within us, the redemption of our body. Christ the Lord is risen today. He's redeemed us. He's redeemed our bodies. He's redeemed our minds. He's redeemed our spirit, our soul. We are one in Him. There's no separation between us today in the name of the Lord. But close your eyes just for a second. If you're here this morning and you're saying, well, he's talking some good stuff, but I don't really understand a thing he's saying. Maybe you need to be born again. Amen? We all come short. We've all failed. We were born of our father Adam, but through Jesus Christ, we can have that new life. The Bible said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen? And those who call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. So I'm praying right now, Lord, those that are here that need to call on your name, I pray they'd do that right now. Just say it with me. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I confess my sins. I turn from my old nature, and I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Let this be my Easter Sunday, my new day, the day that I know you in the power of your resurrection. Let it be a day that everything becomes new. In Jesus' name, I receive you. Amen. Praise the Lord.